Each of those schools we named would be required to pay a $17 million exit fee for a planned leave more than a year in advance. The Pac-12 and Mountain West football scheduling agreement signed last year would require an additional payment totaling around $43 million for adding those four schools.
They said Pac-12 is going to help with those exit fees, too.
Yes. The Pac-12 has tens of millions of dollars because all those schools left them.
Yeah, they
and they money. Had to pay to leave. So they've got those kind of tucked away, and that will kind of help in this process here. Yeah, interesting times. Interesting times in college sports, man.
Do you think there's any chance? I don't think there's any chance, but I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm.
You think there's any chance a Cal and Stanford find their way back at some point? Not right away.
I can't. But well, at some point, sure.
And when I say some point, yeah. I'm saying like 10 years.
Yeah, like sure. Because all we're really talking about is the evolution of money. That's what we're talking about. Can the, quote, Pac-12, Pac whatever network, can their programs catch up to what these other bigger conferences are, power conferences are, so to speak? It's not just the one, I'll keep saying it, just keep an eye on the ACC. It's not about history. It's not about prestige. It's about the fact they have the worst television deal in college sports. And there's when there's a discrepancy and it's like, oh man, that sucks. There's a discrepancy there. And then like they have this deal that I swear is like 10 years or 15 years or something. And media rights fees, so to speak, we don't really use that term in college, but that is essentially what we're talking about. Continue to go up and up and up and up, and all of a sudden, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC networks, all of this stuff is worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And the ACC is here at 15 a year, or whatever it is. I don't know that that's the dollar figure, but it's whatever it is, it's a bad dollar figure. And all of the other ones are really good dollar figures. And at some point, even for the ACC, this is all going to even out. And once that happens, yeah, everyone will realize it doesn't make sense for Cal and UCLA. It doesn't make sense for them to be where they are. Right. The money's evened out. Let's get back to California. Let's get back to the Pac-12 and go from there.
See, I think.
But I don't think that's close.
No, like.
But you said a decade. Yeah, I could see that happening in a decade.
I think the only ones that are have the potential to come back are Cal and Stanford. With the ACC. I don't think as long as they want them, UCLA's leaving the Big Ten and Oregon and Washington are leaving the Big Ten.
That's just like stunning money.
Yeah.
Like the money is.
Yeah. So they may be the worst team. Well, not Oregon and Washington, but UCLA might be the worst team in the Big Ten forever. But they're going to piggyback along with SC and get that Big Ten money. But the ACC, you laid it out perfectly just now. I don't know if it's going to be lucrative enough after a while for Cal and Stanford to pass up what the Pac-12 is recreating, the money they might be bringing back in, because they're saying that they got, we'll believe it when we see it, because they couldn't get anything right for I don't know how long, but allegedly they've got media rights deals lined up for this new Pac-12 with your ESPNs, your Fox, all this other stuff, and they'll have money coming in that way, and then if the ACC were to lose Florida State, Miami, or Clemson, and or Clemson, that conference is all bad. It's already struggling. But if Florida State gets their way and they leave, that'd be nasty. And that could accelerate the process. Wasn't Florida State trying to leave like this past year? And they blocked them a little bit or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know that they were. I don't know that they were trying to leave as much as they were crying for attention. Like, I genuinely, I'm being serious. Like, I don't know that they were really, really actively trying to leave. However, because I think if they were, it wouldn't have just been them.
What you think, Clemson too? Miami?
Keep going. Yeah, like, yeah, the money difference is that big. Mm. And that the thing is, that hurts the schools more than that. That doesn't really hurt the athletes, because that does help NIL money, because you create NIL money that's not NIL money. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it is essentially paid for by the school. They just don't call it that. They call it something else. Well, this isn't associated with the school. Great. It's just made up of a board of directors who all went to the school.
Right.
it's a shell game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those rich people things. You know, you get caught, you get invited
to
these meetings.
I know.
It's one of those rich people things where it's like, no, we create something to funnel money through it.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And that has nothing to do with that type of system does is aided by television deals and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. NIL deals, kids can work that out with their agent stuff. That could work through companies, so it's never going to really affect them. But once Florida State, Clemson, Florida, Miami, whoever is like, I'm sorry, they got massage beds at their facilities. They got 55 plunge pools. And we over here with a busted, we over here looking like the Cleveland Indians in Major League. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And until that money levels out,
yeah,
all bets could be off.
Omar and Matthew's Mattress Shady House says, if FSU leaves, where do they go? They
shout out,
they wanted to go to SEC. That was the plan. Allegedly, if they were just crying for attention, like you said, but the SEC was what they were trying to do.
It might not have been. It might have just put them on notice. Mm. Y'all better fix this.
Yeah,
there ain't no fixing it, man.
Ain't no fixing it.
They stuck. They stuck.
The killer for them is, it's a tale of two sports, really, because they're awful in football, but basketball really works for them.
Who's awful?
ACC.
I agree.
Not the team, but you know the setup. Well, Clemson sucks this year. Yeah. Florida State, I think they're going to win on Saturday. They got Memphis. They got to win at some point, right?
I don't know. You was a coward with your picks last week, but whatever.
What
it doesn't even got nothing to do.
No, I gave you three picks.
Well, you
did. I went 0-3, but I gave you three picks.
Well, if you had given the one that was really on your mind, everybody would have won, but you wouldn't do it.
There was actually two that were on my mind that I wasn't going to speak on. I saw what was happening in Lincoln.
No.
But you ain't going to get me to say it. You ain't going to get me to say it. By the way, I saw a video last night of Colorado State players talking like, yeah, you're going to learn that all them Instagram followers and all this other stuff, that don't help you out.
Who said that?
These players at Colorado State.
Oh.
They're like, yeah, that don't help you out.
That's what they sound like?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to be like, look, you got to come out on this field, and you're going to see what's really up at that point. It ain't going to help you all them followers or anything. Then somebody said they got beat by like 30, 40, or 50 a couple weeks ago. Colorado State needs to shut the hell up. Man. Colorado's winning that game. Listen for tomorrow. I might have that on the list. But Colorado, who I don't even know if it's that good, they beating Colorado State. No.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM Carrick's QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app. My man Tyler's over there behind the board. I feel like Tyler's scared to death.
Shout out Tyler.
Relax, but you good? You good?
Look,
breathe
ask,
through it, man.
Ask
you
him
all
to
right?
Talk to us real quick.
You want to talk to us? You know how to turn the mics on? You know how to turn the mic on? It's our man Tyler right here. He wasn't ready for that. Jesse didn't train him how to turn the mic on yet. See?
Didn't have his headphones on.
No, he's got his headphones on. He's ready to cook
now.
Yo,
what's up? What's up?
Tyler.
What's up?
Tyler.
I ain't scared.
You about to drop a freestyle. You hear him?
A Santa Cruz shirt?
Yeah, that's where I just graduated from, UC Santa Cruz. Graduated a few months ago.
This man has done radio shows in the past.
Come on, man.
I have one right now, too.
He said, I'm not new to this.
My man Tyler, welcome to the team, bro.
Thank you, man. It's great to be here. Great to be here.
My man Tyler. Let's get Tyler to turn that mic off because it just picks up background sound. And let's get to your boy. I bet Tyler's radio show is 1,000 times better than Pat Bev's podcast.
Oh, man. I can't say I never heard Pat Bev's podcast. Maybe
me either, and I never will.
Yeah, you're never going to listen to Pat Bev's podcast.
Why? Give me one reason, and I'll do it.
Maybe he says something insightful. Maybe.
Oh, sweetie.
He did show love to Sacramento a couple of different times.
Well, okay, tell me about it.
He was talking about, who was he talking to?
Is this on your list? Does Pat Bev play before Bill Simmons or after
Pat
Bill
Bev
Simmons?
Pat Bev don't play at all.
Oh, okay.
I was listening to my boy Podcast P last night, though. But.
No, Podcast P is not in that category.
No, that's my boy.
Yeah, Podcast P is not in that category.
But he, I didn't see the episode, but it was circling. Remember, we talked about it. It was circulating around on Twitter and stuff like that where I forgot who he was talking to. Maybe just the co-host, and he's like, nah, Sac be popping. Like, it go down at them Kings games, Golden 1 Center be popping.
Mm.
Like, da-da-da-da-da. So he show love. He show love.
Trying to get the Kings to sign. Get out of here, bro.
Didn't work.
Yeah, stay your ass out of here. Said he wants to see Julius Randle traded to the Kings.
Mm. Your thoughts.
Okay.
We're both proponents of Julius Randle.
Always like Julius Randle. Yeah.
And we've talked about, maybe they need to make that move. We talked about that maybe a year ago, maybe less than 6 months ago or something like that.
Yeah.
But as I heard this clip and started thinking, it feels like that time might have passed.
So let's approach this a different way.
Okay.
If the Kings were to attempt to acquire a player in Julius Randle's tier, mm-hmm. whatever that may look like, is Julius Randle the player you want to go for?
Mm.
Like, do you know, obviously we are sight unseen right now with this makeup of the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big acquisition. It's one player, but it's a big acquisition of DeMar DeRozan. Can you say you comfortably, no, I know exactly what the Kings need. And then if you can, is that Julius Randle? Like, does Julius Randle provide what you think the Sacramento Kings need? My first instinct is, nah, that doesn't really make sense.
Right.
Maybe I'm missing something. I like Julius Randle now. I used to really like Julius Randle on the Kings, but I don't think I do anymore.
Yeah, that's the same thought I had, because like I said, we've always agreed on that, and it just kind of feels like that time, that opportunity is past with the way this team is constructed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Keegan. I'm in a minority, I guess, because everybody throws Keegan at three. I like Keegan at the four. You know what I mean? I like him. You talk about we need a stretch four. That's Keegan Murray. This guy's 6'10". I think he can rebound better.
Well, we've talked about Kevin at three, right? Kevin at three and Keegan at...
Well, yeah, but I'm saying whenever, like, even when they talked about marketing, they're like, yeah, now we can move Keegan to the three.
Oh,
like,
I got you.
I like Keegan at the four, but I might be the one-man wolf pack with that. But Julius Randle being here, that eliminates that. Negates that opportunity. DeMar DeRozan is now the starting two guard. And now you got a situation, and sound like a broken record, but like I'm always talking about, what does that finishing lineup look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I want Monk in there at the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if need be, I want Keon Ellis in there at the finish.
Mm.
And now...
Well, that don't work. I mean, it's one or the other, right?
Right. No, it's one or the other, but say Monk fouls out, or maybe the last 2 minutes, you need a defensive stop. I need Keon Ellis. It feels like none of that is happening
mm-hmm.
with Julius Randle around. So it feels like the time for that might have passed for the people who wanted it.
Did he offer like a rationale behind it?
No. No, I mean, you'd have to watch the podcast to see that. The clip cut off.
I ain't going
to
do that.
The clip cut off after.
Well, guess we'll never know. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? Not sure. Because the answer was on Pat Bev's podcast, and I ain't sticking around for it.
So, yeah, but he was like, yeah, I'd like that. That'd be dope. That'd be dope having him in his sack.
Okay.
To a certain degree, I mean, it's flattering enough that people are even looking at you that way to say, like, and he talked about how he liked Julius, you know, and he said, where would you want him to go? He's like, Sacramento.
Sacramento,
yeah. That's how it came.
Maybe. Okay. All right. I don't even know that any of this actually happened. I think you're trying to trick me into listening to Pat Bev's podcast.
I didn't get tricked into listening to it. Once again, it's a clip. Shout out Dunk Central and everybody else. But they, they were just talking about Julius Randle. He's like, yeah, it seems like the writing's on the wall, man. You know, in New York, it ain't happening. It's writing's on the wall, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And then
I don't think that's true either, but I mean, I don't think that's entirely true.
Aren't selling his jerseys anymore.
Oh, Jesus, I didn't know that. God bless it, he's still there.
Yeah, it's not in the team store anymore. So Julius Randle actually saw that and like
that's hilarious.
On that.
I thought that story was fake.
No, I think, well, maybe we all
that's
got,
hilarious.
Well, but I think Julius Randle was the one that brought it to the forefront on his Instagram.
Sorry, Julius, but they were talking. That's kind of dirty.
They were talking about it, and they were talking about it in the context of Julius Randle. And then at the end, the little co-host asked him, like, man, where would you want him to go? And Pat Bev was like, Sacramento. Go to the Kings. Mm. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Do you feel like the Kings in anybody? This is anybody.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Are the Kings' needs obvious?
To me, they are.
Okay.
I think you would want another, and everybody says it, I'm not breaking news, but another athletic wing. Long guy, like maybe 6'7", 6'8", that you could throw on threes and fours and twos and stuff like that. I think that's the one thing they're missing.
Okay. So we talk about athletic wings. Does DeMar fit in that category?
He's a little shorter than maybe I would want.
Okay.
A little short, maybe about 2 or 3 inches, but I mean, I think he can get the job done.
But not ideal for what you're talking about.
Right, right.
So we're really left with Herter and Keegan, and then Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But that's just me, like, kind of answering the question and talking. Like, I'm not saying they're a finished product.
I feel like
I want to see this team.
Yeah.
I want to see this team and what they can do. And then you look at it, and if need be, all right, make whatever adjustment.
I feel like the unsung hero of this group, we got to go to commercial. I didn't even realize that. We was just talking Kings. I feel like the unsung hero of this group might be Trey Lyles. We'll talk about it. We also have the top 20 games of the Kings season, game number 13. We'll have that for you. We're thrilled you're here with us. Matt George coming up in about an hour or so. Stilo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
What's on, man?
All right. We back here. That is your song. Everybody is aware of that. R.I.P. Kit and Caraway. Shout out to everybody who tied in Kit and Caraway in the chair into some sort of joke. That was fantastic. Yeah, and shout out to everybody who heard the wake up call segment live. I saw Kyron tweeting about that, man. It was pretty cool.
Damn, man. My boy, KC the Cat.
Well,
man.
Well, you said what you said this morning. Well, he went out a soldier.
Look, once again, don't call him Lil KC.
Well, apparently not. Don't call him soft either. What?
Don't call him soft.
It wasn't me. That's what Katie said. Okay, it was not my problem. Hey, my man was
That's crazy.
Man, my man was a walking blue chew ad his short time on earth. Well, well, John, like, wait a minute. Like, come on, man.
Oh, no, come on.
Drew Dan calling him the bricked up cat.
Yo, man, come on, man. Don't do that to him.
Y'all calling him diehard. Dave Garcia called him KC the Rock Johnson. Oh, that's crazy. I'll be honest, as she kept saying it, I didn't understand. It wouldn't go in. I was like, in what? what was the cat trying to go in? Like, I didn't understand. But as she kept saying it, it was like, oh, this cat was just walking around.
Damn.
All right.
Damn.
TCG said, that cat had a hard life.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, stop it.
Damn. Poor cat, man.
Oh,
then he wouldn't
man.
Eat. That's the other thing. He had to eat.
Yeah, he wasn't eating. He wasn't eating.
Poor guy.
Kitten caraway though is that's high level. That's good stuff, he's right?
If I ain't doing this, I don't want to live.
Hey, poor cat. What am I supposed to do with this?
That is crazy. That's a trick.
I didn't even know that was an affliction that struck cats.
I didn't know either. I've never seen it. I don't know. Never seen it happen. That's a wild situation. That's a wild situation.
Oh, your namesake was living the life, man.
Amen. Shout living out to the him, life. Man. Shout out to him. He's a soldier.
All right. All right. We continue to count down the top 20 games of the Kings season. KC wanted to do two at some point, and tomorrow is going to be packed. So let's get a couple of games in here. We are at game number 13, KC, game number 13 of the top 20 games of the Kings season.
Game number 13. This one, okay, let me ask you a question. Is this game too high on the list?
I'm going to say, I'm going to say no because I assume I know why you put this game here.
Yeah. I mean, there's only one reason.
Yeah. And I think that's I mean,
it was a great moment though, right?
I think I was having a party this night.
I watched it.
Everybody was at the house and well, tell the story.
Well, it was the Sacramento Kings, 125-104 over the Utah Jazz on a Saturday night in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And really, the entire story of this game is, well, one of the stories was De'Aaron Fox didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what also made it crazy.
Didn't even matter.
Keegan Murray, 47 points on the night, 12 of 15.
Insane.
From beyond the arc. What a game from Keegan Murray. And it was a blowout. You know, it was a beatdown of the Utah Jazz. That was the story.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray's performance was the story. 47 from Keegan. Mm-hmm. Wow.
We kept watching that game. He kept hitting three after three after three. And everybody kind of stopped what they were doing. Like, how many is he up to?
Mm.
I think he's up to 30. Then they put up on the screen, no, that's 38. He's up to 38 or whatever the number was, but it's we were off.
Yeah.
Everyone in the house was glued on what Keegan Murray was doing that night.
And people in the chat are bringing it up, and that's the other unbelievable part of this. He made 11 straight threes.
Yeah.
11 in a row.
Yeah.
That is crazy. We go crazy if somebody makes three in a row.
Right.
This guy made 11 straight threes. In that game, that was great to watch. That was great to watch. And look, who was it? Where I just seen it just now? Zabo said it's this low. He thinks it should be higher than 13. Only reason that it's 13 is it wasn't a compelling game at all. I think
now compelling games influence the list.
Well.
Do we have to relive the fiasco of last year?
I see you working, but okay. No, right. I mean, okay. that was something different.
I was just asking.
That was something different.
Broadcast journalist. My school taught me to ask questions.
I think
this is a good one from Warren. They were interviewing Steph after the Warriors game.
That's right.
He was like, he did what?
That's right. That did happen.
That was awesome.
That did happen.
That was awesome.
I'm trying to, obviously, I put it here for a reason. So I think there's a couple arguments. I ain't going to lie to you. There's a couple arguments that it could have been higher.
Sir, this is your list.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying my list is correct.
Oh.
Just like last year. But I'm being, you know, could have been a couple arguments. I could see people being like, you could have put Keegan. It's no more than like a couple spots. I don't think you can go any higher than that. Mm-hmm. A couple spots.
No, this is a one. It's a moment, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a moment.
Yeah, that was a joy to watch, man.
Yeah, that was
amazing. A joy to watch. So, I mean, usually, like I said, there's a bunch of other different notes and all this. It's Keegan Murray, 47 points. Yeah, that's the note.
It was 35-23 after one. The Kings went for 44 in the third, outscored the Jazz by 18. This game was long over. Not much from Keon in his starting role, at least from on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. But despite, you know, in addition to the 47, wow, the trend continues. Good night from Harrison Barnes.
There he goes again.
Domas was 9 of 10 with 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and 20 points.
He was slipping. He didn't get a triple-double.
And then Malik.
Malik doing what Malik does. So
how many threes did they shoot in this game? I just looked at Malik shot 12. Well, damn, Keegan Malik shot 15. Well, it's not as many as I thought. They shot 45. They were 22 of 45 in this game.
Two shot a ball.
Malik was 4 of 12. He was pissed that Keegan was hitting all those shots. He was like, "All right, I'm gonna get mine."
Keegan took 23 shots total on the night.
My bad, Malik. I apologize. 8 assists in that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Team had 36 assists in this game.
Yeah, 7 assists.
Well,
just keep passing him the ball. You're going to get your assists.
8 assists from Domas, 8 from Malik, 7 from Keon.
Keon. When you go back and watch these games, Keon just sneaky is like kind of always good. Like every time you watch him play, it's like, Keon was pretty good here. Oh man,
I'm what looking he's doing to
on
see.
Defense, like every time he's kind of sneaky good. Every time
I'm gonna have to look up when this started, because obviously he played in that one. This was Jazz one. I'm gonna see if I can move backwards real quick. It might be easier to do it this way. Duarte, Jordan, Colby, Davion. I'm not sure when his DNPs ended.
Keon,
because I don't think he got another DNP after starting there. And I'm trying to see if I can track down his last DMP, and I'm struggling to do it right now, and I just exited December. Mm. Oh, there it is. It's against the Clippers, November 29th. Kings got beat 131-117. Keon got a DNP in that one. I think, and this will be really easy to see. I think that was his last DMP of the season.
Man, well, that's great.
I thought it was later.
I thought it was later. Too.
Well, I remember us talking about the 55.
Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah. You know, whatever the G League number was.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he keeps playing. Like, they've got to figure out his contract situation. Yeah, that has to be it. Because all I'm seeing at this point is Sasha. Well, nope, there's the... I apologize. Keon didn't play against the Bucks.
The one in Milwaukee?
He didn't play in the 143-142. That's why we lost.
Kevin Herter was cooking that game, too. That's what happened to him.
Kevin Herter had 26 in that one. Well, yeah. So, De'Aaron, Kevin,
crazy, yeah.
And Malik.
We're cooking.
We're all playing in that one. In fact, everything I just said is a lie because he didn't play versus the Suns either.
The one they lost, the 20-point one?
The next game, yep.
Could have used him for some defense in the fourth quarter there.
I just made all of that up. Just made the whole damn thing up because he didn't play versus the Hawks. Didn't play versus the Mavericks. Didn't play versus the Grizzlies. When did these DNPs end for my boy? Didn't play versus the Pacers. I'm into February now. Oh, is Keon man. Even on this damn team? Played 3 minutes and 14 seconds in a blowout loss to the Cavs. Didn't play against didn't play against the Pistons in that loss.
It felt like we wasn't seeing. It felt like we wasn't seeing Keon for a minute.
There's a much easier way to do this. Keon Ellis stats. For goodness sakes. Now I'm obsessed with this, and I want to know when his last DNP was. Game logs last year. No, it's fine. Everybody sit around and be quiet until I figure this out.
Ramsey, we know that we're into December and January or something like
February
that.
February 28th.
That was his last DNP?
So that it looks like, no, he didn't play. Well, that's kind of a weird one. So it looks time? So it looks like he didn't play against Chicago on March 4th.
The home game they lost. Or is that?
That looks like it's on. Nope, that's at home. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. He didn't play on that one. So starting March 6th, he played the rest of the season.
What game was that, March 6th?
That was against the Lakers. That was against March the Lakers. Six. Yeah, that was the one we just talked about.
And that's the one where he...
That was game number 61.
That's the one where he came in and changed things. His defense, his energy, hitting a couple open shots. He came in and changed things in that game. They just talked about it yesterday. They were down almost 20 in the first quarter, and him and Davion came in cooking. And, man, he never looked back.
His usage is so odd. He doesn't play the first three games of the season. Then he plays like the next eight. Then he's labeled as inactive, which I assume means G League responsibilities because they didn't know what they had yet. Comes back, plays one, doesn't play, and then plays the next. Then plays the next 11. Then plays one in the next four.
Man, what's going on?
Okay. If there's one thing about Mike Brown that drives me nuts, it's this.
Yeah.
Because did what Keon do change so much from December 26th, the day before he got into that 1-4 stretch, and March 6th?
Doesn't feel like it.
Like I don't know. Maybe it did in Mike's eyes. Mike is the head coach with 60 wins on his resume and multiple coaches of the year. Yeah. So maybe he saw something he felt more comfortable with. But we look at Davion. Like I was just looking at Davion's game. It was the same thing. Mm. Kind of out, just out, no, in, out, gone, and then back. Mm-hmm. Not only back, but back and effective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love Mike Brown, but that drives me crazy.
I'm trying to look at like his performances. I mean, he played great in that Lakers game that he came back. You know,
Keon?
Yeah, Keon. Yeah. And then it was a back-to-back, it looks like, against San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And he played really well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started to earn
his minutes. Yeah, his minutes really start to change.
Yeah, he just starts to earn these minutes with his play. He had a goose egg against Houston, but it feels like everybody did.
Well, look at the next one, though.
Against the Bucks.
That's the Bucks, right? Yeah. He didn't play in the first game in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
but played in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings won by 35. So you sit Keon Ellis, you lose.
That's what it is. I think is the – no, he was just playing. When did the starting situation happen?
I have to go back. Well, I see I don't know. I have to open the other.
I know exactly when it was. Okay. It was – It was Toronto. So he didn't.
Toronto. That. So that's March 20th?
Yeah. That's where he started for the first time. They won. And I guess that got him to 7-0 with him starting. And then they lost the next game.
Because
Memphis is the game where Herter got hurt.
Wait, why was he starting then?
Because Herter got hurt against Memphis.
Herter got hurt first?
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Oh, yeah. Herter Malik started. Got hurt second. Right. Yeah. Started seven. Oh, it didn't break down the record. Shoot.
What you seeing?
No, I'm just, so, yeah, he started, so from March 6th, that moment where he's back, mm-hmm. there's 22 games left. He started 17 of them. Mm. 26 minutes per game for Keon. Yeah, I was trying to see if it would give me the team record, but it didn't.
At the
because I'm seeing like right out the gate they won
the team
four or
record
five
after yeah. he started playing.
Well, yeah, after he started playing because they won 4 of 5, 7 of 9. Let's see. You know, I'm bad at this. 7 of 9.
I think they went 11.
9 of 11.
I think they went 11 and 10. I believe because he started playing
as
on,
a starter. Or just in that
just
stretch?
Just start playing.
Okay.
Because he started playing on March 6th. They mm-hmm. won that game. They went to 35 and 26. They have 46 wins, right, on the season?
46, yeah.
So, yeah, 11 and 10.
You're on a better site than me because
just ESPN.
Basketball Reference doesn't have the record on here. Just I'm just
our,
looking at
just our
stats.
Kinfolk over at ESPN.com.
Those are our colleagues. Those are our people.
Yeah, so I mean they're above 500.
Yeah,
with Keon in the rotation, and somebody said it in the chat too. And like I said, when you go back and watch these games and you continue to see him, it just gets, yeah, man, he's got to be in the rotation.
Yeah, like it's not even a.
It can't. Well, remember we were kind of thinking about it because, well, rightfully we were like
we thought Monty was a little dismissive.
Yeah. Right, and it's like, nah, he got to be a part
of
his
cute little play.
He got
a little buddy went out there and played basketball. Look at him.
He got to be a part of all this. So, yeah, I think so. Mark Wong is right. I guess it's 12 and 10 because they won the game, or maybe it's 11-10. I don't know. Don't matter. They're a winning team. With
well, we said it was 22 games, so 12 and 10 makes sense from the March, mm-hmm, March game 6. On. Yeah. We will have game number 12 coming up here in just a few minutes as we had to kind of catch up and get this top 20 list back on track as we start to creep towards the top 10. Asia Wilson set a WNBA record for single points in a season last night. And it feels like despite the stroke the Aces did beat the Fever last night, despite the recent struggles of the Aces, I don't think there's a lot of doubt that Asia Wilson's going to win her third MVP.
I know how you feel about it. I thought it was crazy when people even started to question it. This race was over a month and a half before the Olympics.
Like it. Yeah, it feels like it. Like I can't even remember who the other person in the conversation was for in the MVP.
Some
conversation.
People try to say Caitlin.
Caitlin moved up the power rankings, mm-hmm. sure, but one never changed. It just didn't. Like
Asia's on another level right now. She's just on another level from everybody else in the league.
She is the best player on the planet. Mm-hmm. And a third MVP in such a short time is just incredible. She is...
And look,
she could wind up the best She could wind up the best player we've ever seen in that league.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is not even remotely a far-fetched thought.
Ramsey's right. If you should call your,
there you go.
Having a phenomenal season.
There you go.
Phenomenal season.
I'll take that.
It beat Asia and the Aces a couple different times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just for number two. Like that's
what it feels like.
For.
Yeah.
That's all that race is for. Because she's just so good. Like, you watch the game, you watch her play, and it feels like, obviously, she's a human being, but it feels like she doesn't miss any opportunity to score, to get a rebound,
mm-hmm.
anything like that. You give her a look, she's finishing, and she's at the top of her game. She's at the peak of her powers right now.
Man, John Bull got me. He got me on one here. Asia, where'd you go, John? Asia, the best big we've seen in basketball since.
Oh, wait, what?
Was it maybe, man, Sylvia couldn't score like Asia.
I'm about to say, I mean, you know I love Asia. Go Aces. Aces for life. But he's just talking WNBA. Right.
That was my assumption. Yeah, oh, maybe he's not. He's talking about Akeem. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's talking about basketball, period.
Come on, don't do that, John Bull. Don't do that, John Bull.
Well,
what are we doing? What are we doing?
I mean, Jokic is a big.
Joel Embiid's a big.
Giannis is a big. Like, I don't know. I assumed he meant, okay, well, I'm sorry, John. I was trying to stall you out. John meant basketball. Asia's the best big since the last Nuggets game. Since the last Sixers game. Since the last Spurs game. Hell, since the last Kings game. I don't know.
Come on. Oh, man.
Oh, up.
She's one of the best. And I agree with you. I think we could be looking at the best player this league has ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, when it's all said and done.
I think so.
This is going to be her third MVP?
Yeah.
Third MVP. And if they can find a way, and I don't think it's far-fetched, if they can find a way to win a third
straight finals. It's absolutely not far-fetched. Yeah, it's absolutely not far-fetched.
Because quiet is kept. They've righted the ship a little bit since, you know, people were, like, freaking out. I want to say they probably won.
They've won six of ten.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They've won six of ten.
Three of the last five.
Yeah,
got a win against Connecticut.
Yeah, they did get that.
Got a win against the Fever.
The tough thing is they're not going to move much. Mm-hmm. Like New York is going to finish one. Mm-hmm. Is the regular season is coming to a close here. New York is going to finish one. Minnesota and Connecticut are battling for two. Mm-hmm. That's two and three right there. And then Las Vegas and Seattle are battling for the four. And no one's moving up from these different tiers. No one's moving up. And then there's Indiana and Phoenix battling for six. Mm-hmm. You have Chicago hanging on for dear life, battling Atlanta for eight.
Look at the Mystics, too. Remember, we thought they might not win a damn game.
Yeah, Mystics, they're still game lingering. Right. They got their ass whooped last night. But they're still hanging around. And a little playoff appearance could go a long way for Eric Thibault and that crew there in Washington. So,
And actually, for those that...
Yeah, you're right. I did phrase that wrong. I apologize. Chicago is battling with Atlanta and Washington for that eight spot.
And... big game tomorrow. Big game-ish tomorrow. Mystics at Dream.
That's a huge game tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, as huge of a game can be between 2-12 and 2-14.
That's why I said.
But no, I mean, it is. It is influencing the playoff race here.
Yeah. And so as I look for, you know, the schedule, Mystics at Dream tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Sky at Lynx. So the winner of Mystics Dream, depending on tiebreakers or whatever, might go to eight.
Guy and Lynx, yeah. Oh, because you got Minnesota beating Chicago.
Yeah.
I see you. Yeah, Chicago's won two of their last 10. That's tough.
But one of them was the other day. Then they went.
Yeah, when Kennedy, yeah. I think they won the game after Angel went out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they
and
did.
And Kennedy had like 28 or something.
Yeah.
I hope Kennedy settles.
Yeah.
She hasn't really had a WNBA home. Like, I hope she can settle into Chicago and be a lot of what we've seen this year.
Right. Season ends, if I'm reading this right, ends on Thursday. Next Thursday.
Okay. All right.
So there's about, each team probably has about handful two, three, of games. Four more games.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I'm looking at New York. If it's a 40-game season, I think New York is at 36. Minnesota's at 36, Connecticut's at 36, yeah, Las Vegas is at 36. So this thing's coming to a conclusion, man, and the playoffs and the W go by quick. So we're locked in, man. We're locked in.
Yes, indeed.
We have game number 12 in the top 20 games of the Kings season. We got Matt George going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And one thing I love about this trend of sports fans hosting national shows, it's amazing. I'll explain.
Okay, I want to know.
Here on ESPN 1320. The Shannon Sharp trend is wild. Stop this. Leave Unk alone.
Unk was getting it.
Well, hey. Hey, Casey the cat died so Unk could live.
I ain't mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
The man did nothing wrong. He said the man did nothing wrong.
Through it, I'm like, doing your thing, man.
Hey.
Shout out,
Man is single. He wasn't bothering nobody.
Did you see any clips from the show?
I did. I did. Yeah. Okay. So they did, you know, they had the little read at the end, which is just funny. Yeah. It's just funny timing. But I thought Ung was embarrassed.
Yeah, he's
like he genuinely looked, and that wasn't a work.
Yeah.
Like he genuinely looked like, I can't believe that this happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They said before the show aired, like maybe 30 minutes or something like that, they said there was 50,000 people waiting.
Oh my God.
In the little YouTube waiting room.
That's crazy.
To watch that show.
That's crazy. Hey, well, business is picking up.
Yeah, absolutely.
In every way imaginable, including over at Matthew's Mattress, where the post-Labor Day mattress price war is jumping off right now. You can choose from a Sealy Cushion Firm Queen or a Beautyrest Harmony Medium Queen for just $599. They got Tempur-Pedic Adapt Hybrid Queens. They got Beautyrest Black LX Class Medium Queens for just $24.99. Whatever type of bed you're looking for, Matthew's Mattress has it, and you can enjoy 36 months in special financing with zero interest, with no money down on approved credit, with equal monthly payments required. Head over to matthewsmattress.com and find the location nearest you.
And bye bye five, sleep by nine with Matthew's Mattress, same day delivery and removal of your old set.
I get annoyed at the new trend of, like, everybody being a fan. Like, you used to watch ESPN and you didn't really know who was a fan of who, or you would watch certain hosts and you would never know who was a fan of a specific team because it would never really influence the way that they covered them. And you can probably go either way on this, but I did get a kick out of, and Jesse brought it to my attention on Tuesday, Jets, Greeny, who hosts everything, and I thought he did a really good job, by the way, on I thought that was a really good show. I thought that was a really good show, and I think
Who was still there? Was Randy was still there?
Rex was there.
Alex was there, huh? Alex Smith?
Yep. Rex had a stunning spray tan. It really stood out, and I know it's not his fault. Because of the makeup that they, the makeup that they use for HD, it's not like, hey, it's not what you think makeup is. Mm-hmm. They kind of pat your face and then they literally airbrush it, especially men, because there's not like, it's not like you're putting like super color to it.
Right.
So they spray it. And my man came out looking like Alex Rodriguez in that magazine cover. And he's got that silver hair.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Rex. But the show was good until Rex started talking about the Miami police. One thing I think Greeny does really well in those situations is he gets out of the way and he allows the people around him to carry the workload. Mm-hmm. But he is a Jets fan, and listening to him, they did a segment. Was today Thursday? I guess it was probably yesterday. Mm-hmm. Called Panic or Patience. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the idea was to talk about some of the, you know, the Bengals, similar to what we did a couple of days ago. Right. Of course, they brought up the Jets, and you know, are you panicked about the Jets? You know, is it be patient, whatever it is. Greeny hates Robert Saleh. I mean, hates him. He won't flat out say he hates him, but it is very clear, by the way, that Jets fan talks, oh, he hates Bob. He tweeted on Monday night 7 times about the New York Jets.
Uh-huh.
4 times he mentioned Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas directly. Mm. Yesterday, I was told Robert Saleh is good at defense. Aaron Rodgers is going to take care of the offense. We know how great Aaron Rodgers is. I was told Robert Saleh knew defense, and that's what he was going to do. And I'm like, this dude's talking about him like he's Luke Walton. Like, he hates this man.
Man, it's tough to see, man, because Bob Saleh, it's my guy, man. I remember he did a great job for the 49ers. And it was 2019 all the way till 2021. I don't know when he got the job, but
this is his third season?
Yeah, sounds right. I could understand that being the case.
Really bad record over those three seasons.
Well, look, I'm on record saying this. I know how good Bob Saleh was as a coach.
Hmm.
Like he was an okay defensive coordinator. He was bad the first year, maybe the first 2 years. I can't remember how long he was there. And then the year when they turned it around, it was like, yo, I don't think this guy's any good as a defensive coordinator going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't think he's any good. Like this, they need to figure something out. And then he has this great season. The defense is great. He's got energy. He's doing a lot of good stuff. Everything's great. And it was like, all right, maybe I was wrong or whatever. And then the following year was kind of spotty. They had a lot of injuries or whatever the case may be. But I say all this to say, I don't look at Robert Saleh the way I look at D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico Ryans is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like Robert Saleh was, you know, he's kind of victim of circumstances, I guess you could say. Like he was with Kyle Shanahan, he had a lot of talent, and a lot of the times I felt like he just didn't mess it up. He worked well with those guys. And now he's in a situation in New York where he's got to make sure everything runs well, and it just hasn't been successful. I can understand Green's frustration, a long way of saying that, I guess.
Yeah, Bob's in trouble.
Yeah.
It's kind of what this all boils down to, is I thought Sean McDermott could be the first to go if things go bad. We're probably past that because he, you know, like it would have to go like off the cliff. Like he won his first game. If they lose to the Titans, Bob's got a really, really big problem.
He might not make it to New York.
That's what I'm talking about. He's got a big, big problem if they lose.
I mean, the Titans, I think, are one of the bottom five teams in the game.
And I don't think there's any chance Bill goes there.
Yeah, I mean, the history.
I don't think Bill would go there. Like, I know, like, of course, one of the great things about the NFL season, we got the Kendrick news, we got the Dak news. Like right before, you know, 8, 9 o'clock. Oh, we're pushing these stories out. Everyone's interest is sky high. Yeah. And that was no different with Bill Belichick. Well, Bill's very, don't be fooled by the 27 media jobs that he took. He wants to coach. Mm. He has a criteria for coaches that he, you know, for coaching vacancies that he'll take if someone becomes available. But he very much wants to coach. Mm. And he's just kind of, He's like the elephant in the room.
Mm.
Not for everyone. He's not an elephant in the room for Kyle.
Right.
Or the 49ers or the Rams. But he is for Buffalo.
Mm.
He is for New York. He is for the other New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of teams where, well, I don't know about the other New York. I take that back. Not the Giants. Giants aren't going anywhere. There's no reason for Bill to go there. If the team has expectations, if the Jets defense is really good, and the belief really is that Bob is the problem. Yeah, Belichick makes sense there.
He does.
Whether he likes it or not, that's an entirely different story. But if Woody Johnson or whoever runs that franchise anymore approaches him, yeah, that would make complete sense. It would have to be a team that you believed could win.
Yeah.
And the Bills are that team. I don't agree with it, but the Jets are that team.
Uh-huh.
There's probably a couple other ones out there.
I would push back a little bit on the Jets. I understand they're not very good, but I think of that as maybe a homecoming. Ain't that where he really got his start as a coach? Not his start, but he came to prominence as a coach. He was the defensive coordinator for those Parcells teams.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a full circle moment. Go back to the New York Giants. They don't look very good, though.
Perhaps.
I don't agree with you on that.
But I think it really boils down to how do they view themselves.
Hmm.
Like, if they're willing to, I'm not saying if they're willing to fire Robert Saleh, but if you fire Robert Saleh 4 weeks in, mm-hmm. you're of the belief he's the reason why your team is losing.
Yeah.
And we have a team with a quarterback that we're probably not going to be able to win with next year. You basically fool yourself because they don't see the team the way that I do. Their quarterback sucks and their defense is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you can go so far as to say their defense is good. What's that sound like? I'll repeat that for those that missed it. I think their quarterback sucks and their defense is good. Who's that sound like?
Sound like the Raiders.
It sounds like the Raiders. And how'd that go?
Not good.
Anybody feel good about the Raiders? Why would you feel good about the Jets? I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. I'm saying he stinks, though. Yeah. I'm saying he's not good. He can't move. Now, that's going to change. He's going to be able to move a little bit better mm-hmm. as the weeks progress. Is he going to be able to move? No, but he's going to be able to move a little bit better. Is that enough? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Also, I hate him, so take this all for a grain of salt. I'm not like KC where I rip Kendrick Lamar for 5 minutes and go, I love Kendrick Lamar. No, I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I definitely don't hate Kendrick Lamar. I definitely
don't. No, I don't think you hate
him. I love my boy Kendrick. But
if push comes to shove, you're putting your little owl jacket on.
Man. It's like I said, DeMar DeRozan was speaking to me. I am DeMar DeRozan. Those are both big dogs.
Not
man.
In the Not Like Us video.
Yeah, he was sir, he's like, I sir. Love Drake, and it was in the Not Like Us video.
I hate the thing that they're doing to DeMar about the Toronto Raptors.
What, asking him if they would have won?
Yeah, like, what do you... No, of course not.
No!
Kawhi!
No!
Puts his arm around Steve. Steve, what are you doing? I was getting ready to cook. It's a Draymond Green reference. Another athlete I can't stand. But, yeah, don't do... What is DeMar supposed to say? Yeah. No, of course we wouldn't have. Yeah. Or... Oh, yeah, we wouldn't have we got rid of that bum Dwayne Casey. Like, come on, man. I don't know. I guess I just interview differently. Like, that is just a wild thing to me. Yeah. He knew his team was good. That was a 60 win, or I think it was a 1 seed the year prior. Maybe it wasn't 60 win. It was a really good basketball team the year prior.
It was 1-2 seed, something like that. And this is going to happen for the end of time, but, you know, Drew Down says Raptors lose if Dubs are healthy.
Oh, all right.
The Raptors were up 3-1. What are we talking about? They were up 3-1. And maybe you're talking about KD or whatever the case may be, but, I mean, I thought they were going to lose anyway. Raptors are really good that year. Really, really good. But yeah.
Dubs would have won. Stop it.
Stop it. The Warriors are a championship franchise, a championship team. That's fine. I understand that line of thinking. If KD was there, whatever the case may be, but he wasn't. And I think the Raptors had an opportunity.
Wasn't Clay running around with a torn ACL?
Yeah, shooting free throws and everything. That was crazy. That was crazy.
That man, did he go? He went running out of the locker room, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so wild to look back on.
Somebody, there was a video I saw on Twitter, and they were like, how'd they phrase it? They said, there's a ocean in between the Splash Brothers or something like that. And they showed video of them at the Liberty game, and Steph is sitting on one side of the court, and Clay's sitting on the other, and it was a Warriors fan. They were just like tears, like, oh my gosh, can't believe this happened.
Like Russ and LeBron.
and obviously they weren't even saying it like as if they had beef, but just like it's over. Like
that's
gotta be tough if you're a Warriors fan.
Yeah, for sure. Ask me if I care.
Do you care?
No.